This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
A very good afternoon, Jan. How are you?
Hey, good evening. I'm well. How are you?
Good evening. I'm great, thank you. So, Jan, Hot Tech, what have you got for us today?
Yeah, lots of stuff has been happening in the past week. But perhaps one can't leave the elephant in the room untouched, or the elephants in the room untouched, I should say. First up, F&B was down today. I think it's still down for folks with online banking. They've sent out apologies to their enterprise customers as well who have been affected. And this is the second time in a week. So they've been down twice in the past 7 days, and extensive outages. People are complaining they can't get cash out of ATMs. They can't make payments with their cards. They can't get into online banking. It's extensive downtime, and one can't help but wonder what's going on there. But at the same time, in the past week, F&B's announced, here's the other elephant in the room, is the petrol price. But F&B announced that they were extending e-bucks rewards, giving every single F&B customer an extra 2 rand per liter of petrol that they put into their accounts, regardless of the e-bucks level and regardless of which account, which F&B account they're using. So if you're on like the one of the lower tier F&B accounts that usually only get 60 cents rewards per liter of petrol you put in, that means you go up from 60 cents rewards to 2 rand 60. It's a massive jump in rewards for especially people on the lower end of the scale, and it's effectively a 2 rand per liter discount for every single F&B customer. So, you know, the petrol price increase, I mean, obviously you can't just spend your e-bucks anywhere, but you know, you can spend your e-bucks in a lot of places. You can use it on Takealot. You know, it's quite a versatile reward point. And it's effectively given folks, you know, a discount from, you know, 2 rand, I think 30 odd on the petrol price to, it's like between 2 rand, depending on whether, you know, it's diesel or petrol, between 2 rand 30 and like 2 rand 70, you know, suddenly you're looking at an increase of only 60, you know, 30 to 60, 70 cents.
Makes it so much more bearable. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're an F&B customer. Yeah. So well done on them there. And I can't help but wonder if this rewards points thing of theirs isn't somehow responsible for the outages. I hope not. I hope it's just a coincidence.
Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, those were the two elephants in the room in the past week. I don't think we can talk about any news this week without talking about the petrol price increase. It's just a massive blow. And then some other news that's come in just in the last few hours, sorry, in the last few minutes even, is Eskom's reached a wage deal with its unionized employees on a 7% increase, an increase to their housing subsidy. And hopefully that means that we can get out of load shedding. Eskom's warned it's going to take weeks to recover, to get out of load shedding entirely. But hopefully that means the end of stage 6 and back down to stage 2, and then hopefully out of load shedding for a couple of weeks. But we're looking for a long, hard summer. We're looking at a long, hard summer with a lot of load shedding as well. And we're already on course for the worst year of load shedding in South Africa's history again. 2021 was that. 2022 is just about there, and we're not even halfway through the year. Or we just beyond halfway through the year. So, yeah, you know, there's just so much happening like around load shedding. People talking about what the possible solutions can be, who's to blame. You know, it's probably the biggest issue gripping South Africa right now. It's economists warning that it's you know, it could cause South Africa to slip, you know, down credit rating agencies lists again, you know, ratings downgrade, together with a recession that might be even deeper than the global recession we're feeling right now. It really is I mean, not to sugarcoat it, it's dire. Important that we get out of this, and important that we solve load shedding for good, with energy expert Chris Yelland also recently penning a plan, actually putting like a plan together, which he says can get us out of load shedding in the next 2 years. But it's quite aggressive. It's going to need like leadership. It'll need government to pretty much get 15 gigawatts of renewable energy on the grid, and rather than have government be responsible for that, make industry responsible, incentives to domestic users So about 10% of that will be domestic users, and then the rest come from the mines, from industry, I don't know how realistic it is to expect government to do a plan, to execute a plan like that, but it is certainly gives some hope, you know, that it's not all hopeless. The problem can still be solved, even though we're this deep in it, but it will require decisive action from our leaders to actually get us out of this.
Absolutely. And the fact that it's now midwinter too also doesn't help.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't. But also, any plan to get us out of load shedding is years of work, right? I mean, the minimum plan I've seen is Chris Yelland and Meridian Economics, who says 2 years, you know, at best, to get us out of load shedding entirely. And that's if we take action now, immediately. The longer we wait, the longer it takes. And government's plan to get us out of load shedding won't even start bearing fruit until 3 years from now. Mm. That's the IPP plans, the renewable IP independent power producer plans, the emergency power producer procurement plans. If you put all those PPs together, even that is still, you know, 3 years away from showing any kind of fruits. And so before you're even remotely out of load shedding, it'll be 4 or 5 years before load shedding is solved. So having a plan on the table that says we can solve load shedding in 2 years, and that doesn't negate the need for the independent power producer procurement programs. Those still need to happen, because the load shedding, getting South Africa out of load shedding in 2 years, and what Chris is calling a national priority initiative or a national priority program, is really an emergency measure involving wind and solar power and a bunch of batteries. But long term, to sustain South Africa's economic growth, which we really need to get back to if we're going to create jobs, we'll still need to procure a bunch of power. And so all that stuff can't come to a standstill either, which is good news for government, I would hope, because that means that all the effort doesn't go for, you know, isn't for nothing. But yeah, it means that if we're going to get South Africa back on track, back into growth, back into job creation, just, you know, back into hope,
yeah,
some really decisive steps are needed now.
Absolutely. And Jan, unfortunately, that's all our time for today. But really, really interesting topics. And please, if you'd like more information, you can go to mybroadband.co.za. And that was Jan Vermeulen, the editor. And that was our hot tech for this week. Thank you so much, Jan.